If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
During his press briefing yesterday, President Trump said that the coronavirus pandemic will get worse before it gets better, which may be true, but it's still a weird campaign promise.
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with actor Chris Evans, who co-founded the nonpartisan political website A Starting Point. But first, a closer look.
The president is trying to convince Americans he suddenly cares about the pandemic he's been ignoring for months, as he also threatens to send more secret police to cities across the country. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Donald Trump is trailing Joe Biden by as much as 15 points in the latest polls. He's as unpopular as any president in modern history, and he's facing a larger deficit than any incumbent has ever overcome at this point in the campaign. But as we all know, Donald Trump is a master tactician and a marketing genius. It was only a matter of time before he cooked up a foolproof plan to win back those voters. And on Tuesday, with the nation's eyes upon him at a televised press briefing, he finally deployed his latest masterstroke.
President Trump was asked late today about Jeffrey Epstein's alleged co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. She pleaded not guilty to sex trafficking charges last week, one of her alleged victims describing her as a predator and monster. The president today saying he hasn't followed her case, that they've met numerous times, and that he wishes her well.
I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, and I guess they lived in Palm Beach, but I wish her well.
Checkmate Joe Biden. Just like the Trump team drew it up on the chalkboard, in front of millions of Americans, the president publicly sent well wishes to an alleged sex trafficker while reminding everyone he's been friends with her for years. I mean, you just can't teach that kind of political talent. Now all Trump has to do is sit back and watch the votes roll in. Now, I know you Monday morning quarterbacks out there might think that publicly sending well wishes to Jeffrey Epstein's wing woman 100 days before a presidential election is, shall we say, a misstep. But you see, Trump is always 10 steps ahead. When you go left, he goes right. When you zig, he says nice things about someone who was recently apprehended by federal agents while hiding out in a remote compound. Because if there is one thing that Trump's base cares most about, it's a woman whose first name sounds like a French perfume for someone who is keeping a secret. Guylaine. Shh. And again, one day we will get a second close-up camera for right over there. My favorite thing about this is imagining the staff reaction. They only called this press conference to try to improve Trump's poll numbers. You know they must have tried so hard to keep him on script. Mr. President, we just need you to focus on the facts of the coronavirus and only the facts. So just, you know, stick to the script.
Got it.
All you have to do is sound presidential and the media will eat it up.
Don't worry, I will let you down. Just one question. Should I remind people that I parted with Epstein? Is that a good idea or a great idea? I think it might be a great idea.
And yet, despite this insane tangent, the media still fell for Trump's act simply because his team dosed his Diet Coke with NyQuil and got him to read a prepared statement pretending to take the crisis seriously. Before the briefing, ABC wrote, "The president is displaying a new tone and a new level of engagement." CNN called it a relatively sober tone, and Bloomberg said, "Trump reboots virus briefings with warning and a shift in tone." Good Lord. I really think you could duct tape a spatula to a golden retriever's paw and half of the media would say, oh my God, that dog's a chef. What's wrong with you guys? How can you keep falling for this? It's been 5 years of this BS and still, every time President Werewolf over here manages to Novocaine his way through a prepared statement without passing out at the podium, you act like he's a totally different person all of a sudden. And you know, I say President Werewolf, but really, he's more like a reverse werewolf. He terrorizes townspeople all the time, and then he's normal for a couple of hours when there's a full moon. I owe you all an apology for the past 30 days. My behavior has been monstrous. Look, 74-year-olds don't change unless their character is in a Clint Eastwood movie where a bunch of retired bank robbers go to outer space, even though all they ever really learn is how to have a slightly better relationship with their estranged daughter. Let's say, Laura Linney. You were never there for me. Those bank robberies paid for your fancy college. I didn't want a fancy college. I wanted a father. I need to go now, Becky. We're robbing Mars. Look, you know Trump's just gonna steal his phone back and tweet some racist nonsense, right? He repeatedly used a racist term for the coronavirus in the briefing. You don't even need to wait until he tweets. He morphed back into the real Trump mid-press conference. Just compare his supposed tone change from his scripted remarks to an off-the-cuff comment he made just minutes later.
It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. The virus will disappear. It will disappear.
My God, I'd say he suffers from extreme short-term memory loss, but then again, he aced that cognitive test, so what do I know? It's too bad coronavirus can't be cured by correctly identifying an elephant on a piece of paper. Then Trump would have knocked that out of the park. Of course, the idea that the virus will just magically disappear is deranged, and since the very beginning of his political career, we've known that both Trump and the political movement he leads are deeply detached from reality. Sometimes that manifests itself in small but bizarre ways, like when he drew with a Sharpie on a hurricane map or claimed God stopped it from raining at his inauguration, even though people in the crowd were literally holding umbrellas. This guy lies about the weather more than your local meteorologist. You told me we're gonna have clear skies all weekend, and then I end up wearing a poncho to the beach. Ugh. The last time I listened to Thunder Rains, and it's important to say, this isn't unique to Trump. The modern conservative movement is a paranoid movement obsessed with conspiracy theories. Remember, this is the same political movement that thinks the world scientists all got together and fabricated the climate crisis as part of an elaborate plot to outlaw airplanes and barbecues. Good thing we elected Donald Trump to protect our flights and social gatherings. And now, those same lunatics think graffiti and light property damage constitute domestic terrorism. For example, take acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf. You know, Dracar Noir, if it grew up to be a real boy. Pretty sure this dude had a minor role on Entourage as a personal trainer who's friends with Turtle. He looks like a guy who on a first date would tell you he was a commando in a top secret army unit called the Omega Squad, and then you'd get home and Google it and find out Omega Squad is a paintball range two towns over. Wolf put out a statement on the administration's decision to send secret police to Portland to snatch protesters off the street and stuff them in unmarked vans, in which DHS uses the phrases violent mob, violent criminals, or violent anarchists a total of 76 times. Is this a press statement or a page from Rorschach's journal? 13-year-old. He's pretty psyched about that joke. It's bad enough to sound like a fascist, but at least crack open a thesaurus. The only time it's permissible to use the phrase violent anarchy that often is when you're reviewing the music of Stomp. Guys, do we need that many trash cans? Maybe one of you could learn guitar? Anytime a government is calling its own citizens violent anarchists, should raise alarms. So what did these supposedly violent anarchists do to deserve that name? Well, you'll be shocked to find out it's complete bull.
Chad Wolf, he is the acting Secretary of Homeland Security. To justify what Donald Trump is doing, he tweeted out images of himself viewing graffiti that had been put on buildings in Portland. And the DHS put out a statement pointing to the buildings it said had been graffitied by, quote, violent anarchists. So the mission of the Department of Homeland Security is to deploy secret police to the streets of American City to stop graffiti and some light property damage.
Graffiti. You're going full dictator over some graffiti. What's next? You're gonna send in SEAL Team 6 to arrest love-struck teens carving their initials into a tree? Okay, he just finished carving the heart shape into the tree. Now he's going for the TLA. Take the shot! Take the shot, Todd! That's right. Our government used graffiti to justify sending secret police to an American city to abduct protesters into unmarked vans without telling them who they are, where they're going, or why they've been arrested. But it would be bad enough if what they were doing was using secret police to enforce laws against graffiti. That's already chilling. What they're actually doing is even worse. They're just snatching peaceful protesters off the street. They're kidnapping people and not even telling them what they're being charged with.
Federal law enforcement officers have been using unmarked vehicles to drive around downtown Portland and detain protesters since at least Tuesday. Personal accounts and multiple videos posted online show the officers driving up to people, detaining individuals with no explanation about why they're being arrested, and driving off.
One came from a 29-year-old named Mark Pettibone, who said that when he was abducted, he did not know if the men were even police. He thought they might be far-right extremists. I was terrified, he told the Washington Post. It seemed like it was out of a horror sci-fi, like a Philip K. Dick novel. It was like being preyed upon.
Leave it to Portland to use a literary reference. If this happened anywhere else, people would say it seemed like something out of a movie or at best a YA novel. But in Portland, you get, it's like a Philip K. Dick novel. Less in setting, but more in tenor. The later works, of course. And in case you're not a Philip K. Dick fan, that's bad. The dude wrote dystopian science fiction. None of it was ever good. He never wrote a novel called Robots Took Over and Gave Us Candy. When a secret paramilitary force is abducting peaceful protesters in the dark of night without identifying themselves, that means even they know what they're doing is a flagrant abuse of power. And you can tell it's a flagrant abuse of power because they're using shady and irregular tactics to do it. For example, federal officers appear to be using rental cars from Enterprise to snatch protesters. Well, at least we know they were not kidding with their slogan. Did you guys get a deal on Kayak? I hope you got the liability insurance, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have a lawsuit on your hands. Man, what a advertisement for Enterprise, by the way. This reminds me of the time in the 80s when the KGB did an ad for Hertz. And now Trump is threatening to send his secret police to other cities, and the rotten husks in the GOP and on Fox News are cheering him on. The president can't be bothered to develop a national strategy for a pandemic that's killed 140,000 Americans. But to defend some statues, he'll send secret police to American cities to abduct protesters. He and his right-wing allies couldn't care less about you. They just want power. If we leave these people in charge of our democracy any longer,
it will disappear.
This has been A Closer Look.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest tonight is an actor and producer you know from Marvel's Captain America franchise and the limited series Defending Jacob. He is also the co-founder of the civic engagement website, astartingpoint.com. Here's my conversation with Chris Evans.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing very well. I think these are times that we're living through right now where it is very important to have companionship. I think some of the most uncomplicated companionship is canine companionship. How's your dog doing?
Oh, he's great. He's great. He's getting thoroughly smothered in this time of lockdown.
So this is a fascinating new website you've started called startingpoint.com. And maybe it's easiest just to start with where you came up with the idea.
Sure. Well, it began in 2017, and I was watching the news, and I'm a little bit of a news junkie, and I didn't understand something. I went to Google it, and it was just unbelievable how messy it was trying to just sift through the information to just get a concise understanding of some sort of a policy or a bill. To be honest, I don't remember what the actual thing that I was Googling was, but I just recognized right away, I felt like there was a hole there, that there was something missing, that I'm sure there are plenty of people who are interested in politics, and just it's daunting. You know, it's an intimidating landscape, and to find that kind of entry point where you can just get basic information to understand your interpretation of the political landscape felt like it was missing.
So what's really unique about this, you know, because these are a lot of people, politicians that we will see on cable news, mm-hmm. but this is them for a minute on whatever topic they choose. You provide them with a list and they sort of just talk uninterrupted for a minute. There is nothing, no editorial element is laid over it. You let them speak in their own words. Why did you want to let politicians speak instead of talking to experts?
Well, there's a couple reasons. First, I think we are in an age where, you know, you can chicken or the egg this all day, but I do think I'm part of it. You know, when I read something online, you start questioning, well, who wrote this? What's the agenda? What's the bias? Where's the money? So the first thing I wanted to do was remove that filter factor. I want to remove as much subjectivity as possible and allow the connectivity between elected official and the electorate to exist more clearly. Second, you know, again, one of the main tenets of the site was being objective. You know, I obviously have my own political beliefs, and we tried to remove that as thoroughly as possible. And when we drew the line as to who we interview, you know, if you have a question about the economy, maybe you should talk to an economist. The problem is we then become the arbiters of truth. We then decide who deems who an expert, you know, and I think then you get into the weeds. So even though politicians may not be an expert in every single field, they're still the ones voting on policy. They're the ones affecting your life. And I think the American people should know who those players are. So that's our starting point. Look at the pun. That's our starting point. But this could expand over time, but I think it's important for elected officials to be able to express their feelings, their thoughts around issues clearly. And I think the American public needs to know those people.
So a website like this, based on, you know, what your goal was when you started it, required obviously both Republicans and Democrats to participate. And I imagine one of the trickiest parts when this first started, and it's even sort of laid out in a video on your site as far as what you started, like when you had to convince people to play ball, was that hard trying to get everybody to get on board?
Yes. Participation was the uphill battle for sure. You know, I think naively, I thought, well, I'll just write a letter. Who wouldn't want to be a part? You know, I saw this as a very symbiotic mechanism. Everybody wins here. You get to connect to the voters. Voters learn from the elected officials. But obviously, we're trying to cultivate a new relationship. We have nothing to show. We just have our words. So there was obviously apprehension. You know, I was surprised. I thought there were some people that I thought would absolutely participate who wanted nothing to do with us. And there were some people that I thought never in a million years would sit down with us, and they showed up and they answered everything. And so it was a landscape of surprise.
Who were some of the people that you most wanted that you either got and were thrilled or didn't get and were disappointed?
see, remember how I said I was trying to cultivate this relationship?
Oh, right.
This is the tricky thing. You we're still trying to kind of cultivate this trust. And if I start blowing people up right now, that might hurt that.
Well, it's interesting you talk about the trust, because you hear a voice on the phone talking to you at one point in the video saying that they don't necessarily trust Hollywood people, I believe is their term, and that they've been burned in the past. Mm-hmm. And I will say, having looked at the site, it is what it promises. You do let people speak uninterrupted. It is laid out only to say, this is what a Democrat says about deregulation, this is what a Republican says about deregulation. Have you found that those who participated, do you feel as though they're passing on to their colleagues, hey, this is a safe place if you want to just talk about your beliefs?
Without that mechanism, we wouldn't have worked. That's exactly what happened. You know, we had a very tentative nibble at first from Republicans, and then you know, every time they'd leave, they'd say, "Hey, that was okay." And I would say, "Please tell everybody." And slowly but surely, every time we went back, we had more and more names. And part of it was trying to convey to them, "Listen, we're not trying to be one and done. We're trying to do this every year. So if we're duplicitous, if we get you to answer a question, then we eviscerate you. You're not coming back." You know, the nature of this is to try and provide something for everybody. What's that saying? A good idea is when everybody wins. Everybody can win here. But it wouldn't happen if we're trying to, you know, slam people.
You did realize ultimately that you needed more levels than just your initial idea of a politician talking for a minute about, say, health or education or immigration. Can you speak to what you realized was missing and why you added those additional tiers to it?
Sure. So initially, the only idea was there's three sections to the site. If you go to the website, you can watch a little video that walks you through all three of them. But there are three sections. The first section is called Starting Points. And it's 1 minute answers to common questions answered by at least three Dems, three Republicans. And so that was kind of the only goal for the first year of the project or so. And then slowly but surely, we kind of realized a lot of these elected officials had things they wanted to say that didn't fit in the mechanism. We sometimes would listen to two people debate back and forth without the kind of television fight promoter quality, and you actually got really good information, and you just kind of thought, man, if we're here, if we're doing this, I wonder if there are a couple other ways we might be able to encourage engagement and connectivity. So sections two and three were born. Section two is daily points, where it really is just, you know, any elected official who participates in section one can pontificate on anything they want to talk about, you know, for a minute. And then counterpoints is when you have two elected officials, they pick an issue to explore, to debate. And it's this very kind of structured back and forth discussion. You know, I love debate. I think it's one of the best ways to examine something. But as I say in that great video, if you go to the site, sometimes televised debates, they develop this inertia, and before you know it, it moves off topic. Someone hits a buzzword, and all of a sudden the conversation pivots, and that's a shame. And I do think elected officials should be able to stand by what they say, speak coherently and concisely, and also listen. You know, we have in section three in counterpoints, there's one back and forth between Dusty Johnson and Eric Swalwell that I consider the gold standard. They completely disagree. It's about mail-in voting. They don't see eye to eye, but at the beginning of every statements, they start with, okay, I hear what you're saying. Here's where I disagree. And just that sentence, it's like a breath of fresh air. And somehow I think listening has become conflated with, I don't know, weakness or capitulation or something. And that just shows you're a thorough thinker. So anyway, section three just felt like it was also something that is missing online that I think a lot of people are really thirsty for, just to see civil discourse that doesn't have to reduce to, you know, ad hominem attacks or something.
Now, I imagine it did help slightly that you were a celebrity, particularly one that has been in a franchise that I would say has a nonpartisan appeal. Sure. And I would assume that family members of Republicans are maybe as excited as family members of Democrats that they got to hang out with Chris Evans. Did you feel like that pull was of use to you?
Oh, it didn't hurt. That was the string we were really playing on the whole time. It was nice. It was nice to use that in a way that also got us in the door, but didn't add any pressure. Yeah, like, you know, in the film world, when you show up, if you're making a movie or you have rehearsal or the first day of filming, there's an expectation. I don't think anyone expected much out of me in D.C. So when the expectations are low, that's where I thrive, Seth.
Yeah, everybody says that about you. You've made a few trips now. Are you less intimidated by being in the halls of power when you go to D.C. now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, now I feel very comfortable. I mean, you know, we've done maybe over 10 trips over the past couple of years, and each time got easier and easier. And everyone was so sweet and so lovely. And honestly, if you give them the platform and you ensure the mechanism that's not designed to be duplicitous, they respond to it. You know what I mean? I think there is a thirst for participation from both ends of this, you know, from the elected officials and from the electorate.
You know, it's interesting to me because, you know, I follow you on social media. You are subjective about your politics. You feel strongly about the current administration. Yeah. Has it been hard to remove your subjectivity from this? Or because it's such a purity of focus to the idea, has it basically been simple?
Not simple because, you know, you always wrestle with what you should do. And I mean, look, the reason I'm so vocal on Twitter is because I, you know, you want to help, you want to do good. So you play on that one string. So when you step back, it really becomes a matter of efficacy. How can I help the most? And trying to provide a platform for information, trying to stay as objective as possible and almost put your trust in people and just say, listen, I think there's good out there, but the problem is right now we're all coming to the table with conjecture and information starting from arbitrary places. So if we can at least clean the landscape up a little bit and trust that the goodness is in there, you know, and I do believe that. I mean, with every generation, you know, the youth helps us shed our skin and kind of march towards what's right. So in a way, some people are just so, you know, divided and polarized right now. I thought maybe leaning on information and leaning on just the North Star of truth might be a more effective starting point of trying to, of trying to move the ball down the field and just playing on the one string that I've been playing on Twitter.
Well, congratulations on the site. It is really a super unique resource in these times we're living in. And it's always such a delight to see you, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Likewise, my friend. Thanks, pal.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.